Hey there, and welcome to the Rock Reavers podcast. Here we're all about believing and proclaiming the word. We're totally given to true worship and obedient in taking the gospel to the nations through missions. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, are you ready for the word? Please take your Bible. I want us to say the statement of belief with boldness. Is it up? All right, let's go. I am a winner. I can do all that God says I can do. Nothing is impossible from this moment on. Amen. I'm in the book of Luke, chapter 5. The book of Luke, chapter 5, we are going to read from verse 1 and we will stop at verse 4. Luke, chapter 5, we are going to read from verse 1 and we will stop at verse 4. Are you ready? Okay, can you read together as a church? 3, 2, 1, go. Amen. Look at your neighbor, give them a high five and tell them, sit on your challenges. Sit on your challenges. Sit on your challenges. Amen. 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 The book of Luke is particularly instructive because the book of Luke, unlike other gospel, was written by a doctor. And as we know, doctors are a bit detailed. And the book of Luke reveals much more in details what the Gospels have already postulated as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. So when you come to the book of Luke chapter 5, there is a very important kingdom teaching here concerning how then the children of God can be able to obtain results in any place at any time. Let me say that one more time. That the Bible is clear that we have a way to obtain results at any place, in any time. The scripture says in Luke chapter 5, he says in verse 1, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake Genesaret and he saw two boats standing by the lake. And there are versions that says that, you know, after he finished talking, he immediately told Peter to cast out, to launch into the deep, to cast out his net for a catch. To cast out his net for a catch. That is a Bible principle that we must embrace right now. What did he say? Cast out your net for what? For frustrations. Bwana asifiwe. He said, cast out your net for what? That means every time capital leaves our hand, where is it going? I don't like your faith this morning. There is a kingdom principle called launch out your net for what? That means every time we deploy our children to go to school, what are they going to do? They're going to be the head and not the tail. For nothing else but to be the head and not the tail. That principle is called launch out into the deep for a catch. It is important that I mention here that the lake did not change. Look at your neighbor, tell them you don't have a country problem. Look at the other one, tell them you don't have a country problem, baby. You don't have an economy problem. He said that the lake did not change. The nets did not change. The men did not change. Even the boats did not change. The challenge is, this depth that you have right now, that is what is disturbing you, neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Tell neighbor, these shallow waters that you have embraced, this half depth, this half depth that you have allowed to be your definition, this half study, This half dressing, you know, you ironed your trouser, but you didn't like to iron the shirt. Or you ironed the trouser and the shirt, but you didn't like to put on a tie. Joel, am I speaking to you? Good to see you, Joel, in church. This half depth, half studied, half prepared, that there were three practices you came to two, but one you decided not to come to. You know, somebody did, you did your first diploma, did second diploma, but you have refused to do degree. The challenge is the depth. Buona sifiwe. If Jesus said, launch out into the deep for a catch, it means then there was a depth problem. Look at your neighbor. Tell neighbor you need to go deeper than you are right now. Neighbor, this depth you are, this depth you need to come out of deep, this depth. I don't like the depth of your commitment. I don't like the depth of your focus. I don't like the depth of your excellence. There's some excellence you have refused to enter, neighbor. Neighbor, can you explain to me? Talk to your neighbor. Explain to me, neighbor, why is this that, you know, your CV has spelling mistakes? Why is it that, you know, there's no color coordination? You don't have company profile. You don't understand credit. Why is it you don't have projections for... Neighbor, this lack of depth in your business. Tell your neighbor, there's a depth problem. There's a depth problem. I came to disturb somebody this morning. There is a depth problem. There is a depth problem. And he tells them, launch out into the deep. Now, as a church that is keen on Bible study, we have to understand then, what does the lake of Genesaret mean? That is the Greek word that means, can you imagine, listen to this carefully. It means the garden of riches. The garden. It is the same garden that Peter said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing in the garden of riches. Can you imagine that you can be in the garden of riches, but because of your lack of depth, you catch nothing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Tomato business has money. Look at Peptang. What are they doing? It's tomato business. There's no problem with tomato business. It is the depth. Hallelujah. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? There's no problem with nuts business. Look at out of Africa. They're buying jets from peanuts. Don't you know that person who used to sell you nuts when you're in high school? And they're still there selling nuts, njugu karanga. Yet from the same industry, people are building factories. People are buying aircrafts. Tell your neighbor, the problem is your depth. The lake of Genesareth calls us to a place where we need to enter. He says it's a garden. It's the garden of riches. He says that the point is, if you're coming to go to a place of full riches as an individual, you must enter into what we call gardening activities. Yes, let me say that one more time. You must enter into gardening activities. Now, keep that in view. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, keep that in view. Or KIV. Joy, are you able to KIV that for me? What are you KIVing? Gardening activities. They have a word for somebody here. Peter said that, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. The Greek word is kopos, which means pain-filled labor. That I have engaged in the marketplace, but with pain. And there has been pain that has followed me as a close companion. That I've engaged in business, but my business engagement has been with pain. God told me to tell somebody here the book of Psalms chapter 30. That weeping may endure for a night, but joy surely comes in the morning. That your labors that have been with pain, finally victory. That your morning, there's somebody here who's about to enter their morning season. That we have toiled all night and caught nothing. That your season of laboring without result has come to an end. God called me this morning to make an announcement here. If it is your word, receive it now. That you have come into your mourning season. Listen to me carefully. You have come into your mourning season in Jesus' precious name. The lake of Genesaret deals with gardening activity. Now, if you're going to garden, Jesus gave us only three keys how to obtain result on any garden. He said in John chapter 12 and verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. The season that you're going to enter now, as you come out of the four prisons of the past, is a season where you must embrace being a corn of wheat, Pastor Doc. Yes, sir. Where you must embrace being a corn of wheat. Where you must embrace being alone. I read something, somebody said, make everything your fault. There is a place where you must come and rise as an individual. Do you realize if you're going to deal with God, there is no us. There is only me and God. It is Abraham, the father of faith, that told us there is a place where you go and you must tell the crowd, remain here because I and the Lord must go yonder to worship. We have to come to a place where you are comfortable in being alone. We have to come to a place where you are comfortable with not being endorsed and not being affirmed. Somebody said, Bebe, you know, my love language is affirmation. Bebe, this season, you are going to affirm yourself by yourself. Hallelujah forever. Man of God, praise the Lord. That if there is going to be fruit in that marriage, sometimes affirmation is not flowing. Because the man of Zion is dealing with purchasing land. And affirmation, economics has swallowed his affirmation. He comes to the house with mathematics. He even bought a calculator. Have you dreamed about that calculator called FX82MS, Casio? Scientific. He walks with it in his pocket. He's like, mobile phone, I'll get distracted. Affirmation cannot come again. Buona sive. Am I speaking to somebody? That you have to come to a place, accept a corn of wheat. Accept a corn of wheat. Accept a corn of wheat. Look at your neighbor and tell them, accept a corn of wheat. The people who are here who are married know what I'm talking about. You can be married and alone at the same time. Do you know they not everywhere, Pastor Des, you will go holding a call's wife saying, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Rebo, rebo. No way. There's a place Des must enter himself. Hallelujah. And say, Father, I cover my generation with the blood of the Lamb. I apply the blood of the Lamb on my seed. I apply the blood of the Lamb on their mind. By the time my grandchildren are walking this nation, they will walk with the nation that he said, their names will be said correctly. Yeah. You know, Ndesika is a very hard name to say. Except he rises up, then you say his name correctly. Amen. It says, except a corn of wheat. The lake of Genesareth deals with gardening. That if you're going to enter that large place, one, you have to be comfortable, one wheat. The second thing he says, that the kingdom of God will progress by retrogressing. Yes, sir. Except a corn of wheat fall. Hallelujah. Except a corn of wheat. Jesus Christ is called the Lamb of God. Let me ask you a question, Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do lambs fight? Don't lambs fight by retreating? But lambs fight by retreating because one charge is enough. Hallelujah forever. That sometimes it looks like your life is moving behind. But when my life is moving behind is when I'm about, oh glory to God, is when I'm about to release a charge that will be heard in South Africa. Hallelujah forever. He said, except a corn of wheat. Listen, the life of a believer can deceitfully look very slow. If you are to examine how it is moving, you might think we are not moving. But the kind of progress we are making, you do not understand. Only it is not visible to your eyes. Hallelujah forever. Buona sifiwe. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. And sometimes in order for us to come up, we must first go down. What kind of foundation are you digging? What kind of matters have you allowed to die? One Bible scholar argued concerning this subject. He's called Elliot. And he said that for the believer to emerge, he must first accept and embrace death on every side. That the makeup of the human body must first be comfortable with death. And death of family, and death of career, and death of ambition, and death of desire. He says, at that time is the platform and foundation of God's glory to come upon and lift that man to heights he will never understand. That it is death first, then progress. Are you too alive, Bebe? Are you too alive? And here is the next verse. Let me, I got it for you. He says, except a corn of wheat, one corn, falls into the ground and does what? And dies. Buona sifiwe. I studied that out, and there's an author who said something that caught my eye. He argued and said that the believer cannot be overly indulgent with their comfort. He said, if you can come out of comfort, marriages will be healed.
Yes, sir.
Because comfort, the firstborn baby of comfort is pride. That if you can come out of comfort, people will serve more in church, more ferociously. Why? Because there is no I was hurt. There was no my seat was taken. There is no I was respected. I was disrespected. There is no I. That I has been removed. Hallelujah forever. Tell your neighbor, death to the flesh. Death to the flesh. Being comfortable when things around you seem like dying. It is important I say this here because in order for us to conduct gardening activities in the kingdom of God, the gardening that works is a gardening that has individual effort, that we are comfortable being alone. The second is that we are not overly concerned with the pace of our life. We are not overly addicted with those things that look like they are retrogressing, and that we have subjected ourselves to the death of the cross. He says, if any man desires to follow me, the book of Luke, is it chapter 14 and verse 27? Let this man pick up his cross daily and follow after me. That there is a death crucifixion emblem that we wear proudly. It is at that point that offense cannot move us. Amen. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, are you too alive? Are you too alive? Look, ask them, are you too alive? And the answer is in verse 25 of John chapter 12, verse 24 and 25. He says, whosoever shall love his life, that man will lose his life. The one that loves his life, that one, he's preparing himself to lose it. That there has to be a balance of how we see ourselves. And there has to be an anchor that we don't love our life so much so as to not prioritize the things of the kingdom. And in launching to the deep, we must keep that as a foundation. Last week, we dealt with the first prison of the past, which was the prison of the former things. And the prison of the former things deals with past successes. And we gave examples here how that there are some of us whose the positioning of our heart seems to suggest that the best business we did was 2 years ago. Well, God told me to tell you that what you called breakthrough is about to become offering. You missed a good place to say amen. You missed a good place to say amen. What you called a dream job is what you want to recommend for some people to go and do internship. Hallelujah. Because your best days are ahead of you and not behind of you. The book of Isaiah chapter 43, 18 and 19 deals with forgetting the former things. When you study that out, the children of Israel were being encouraged to forget Egypt and to get ready for the deliverance that was about to come upon them. That they were going to move now from Babylon into their own land. That God was saying, in order for me to do something new, I need you to forget, listen carefully, I need you to forget what you called victory. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor for me. You will talk to me. Tell them, neighbor, please forget your victories of the past. Thank God for them. But that is all there. They are a Thanksgiving prayer point. Hallelujah. Your best days are ahead of you. Today I want to deal with prison number two. Prison number two, and if you're writing down, you know, let me take a break a bit and bond with the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the reason why I'm so proud of this message, Pastor Des, is if you Google this message, it does not exist. Glory to God forever. Amen. This is intellectual property spiritual. My goodness. Ha! I'm very proud of this message. It is revelation. That's why when I'm saying prison number two, you must write down because there's no else. You can't Google or chat GPT. You know, preachers have said, oh God, finally it's time to generate sermons. Best of luck. Hallelujah forever. Here's prison number two. You know, I'll be preaching this message in Lagos and you'll be saying, that is my pastor. Amen. Prison number two, write it down, is the prison of regret. The prison of regret. Do you know that the systems of this world have not been built for your advantage? Yeah. There is nothing in this world, listen to me carefully, there is nothing in this world that has been built for your advantage. And I'll give an example here so that you can begin to see. There is nothing in this, the systems of this world, how the systems of this world have been designed, they have not been designed for the children of the light. That is why we are not of this world. Paul calls us to a place to be spiritually minded first, because he says to be carnally minded is death. Anytime we subject ourselves to the system of this world, we are setting up ourselves to lose. Let me give you an example. There are people who work hard and have deployed the instruments of budgeting, Daktari. They have deployed the instruments of budgeting. And according to their budget, they have seen that if they were to pay tithe and if they were to give offering and if they were to release Goel offering, they will have to move their house. And now, the design of the system, somebody said, aha, pastor is about to ask for offering 1,000 times no. And the design of this world is that budgets are supposed to work. And budgets are supposed to give us, as it were, financial security. But when you begin to engage like that, what begins to happen is you are now able to afford your life, as it were. But your obligation to the kingdom of God has been packed somewhere. And then you know what begins to happen? Inflation happens. Now all of a sudden what you call saving has become deficit. So how can you beat the system of darkness with darkness? You know, there are people who will come and say, you know, I got it all figured out. I got it all figured out. And you know what I have done is every month I put aside 20,000 bab. 20,000. You know, when you say 20,000, you have to say 20,000 bab. 20,000 bab. I put away 20,000 bab. You don't understand finance. And when I put 20,000 bab, you know, I've put it in money market at 11%. You know, and I've put another one, you know, at education policy, Joel. I've put another in education policy. And over time, you know, once a year, I look at my balance and it is 200,000. Oh, my children are so secure. My children are secure. They're so secure. School fees has already come. You know, and then all of a sudden you count now year one, year two. By year five is 200K times five is 1 million shillings only. 1 million shilling only. Rekegwere. You know, I learned that from my wife. Huh? 1 shilling, 1 million shilling only, Bob. 1 million shilling, Bob. Heish. And now you have this 1 million, Bob, and in your mind, school fees is sorted. This is 5 years later. But if we were to compute the net present value of that 1 million, Bob, let's begin with subjecting it to inflation. Uh-huh. Then let's look at the opportunity cost of capital. Uh-huh. And then let's look at pure return. All of a sudden, what you called 5 million looks like about 1.8 million shilling. Now, 1.8 million shilling, and you have this plan of having 5 children. Amen. Or you have a plan of only 1 kid. And when you subject those funds to inflation, all of a sudden, they are nasoso yeye. You know, every other god, nasoso yeye. You're not in church. He's rubbish mathematics. Do you know Jehovah, Yeshua HaMashiach is the king of mathematics? Hallelujah. Why is it that gold does not have inflation? That father, yani him, he just thought about gold. It's increasing in price every year. Oil is increasing in price every year. Before economics was discovered, father had put in gold that does not suffer depreciation. That is master mathematician. So you begin to see then that these small mathematics of, you know, let me not do that, let me not do that. What about those of us who will trust God for supernatural increase? Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. One day I'll come and give a testimony here how that before I married my baby, I was in debt. I told you, love, you know, in Pasadoc has this class where when you are getting married, you have to disclose. I don't know if you have disclosed, Joel. You have to disclose all your bank accounts, all your debts, your credit score. Yes, you're not happy with this message. Eh? You're saying, why did you have to say these things of disclosure? And there is that mathematics about securing the future with budgets. But the prophet told us that cursed is the man whose trust is in the arm of flesh. Praise the Lord. Let me give you another example. How many of us took a loan, maybe $500,000, Bob, 1 million shillings last year, and now you've taken a loan and you have this business that you're doing to secure school fees, to secure the future, because we have been taught that budget is the solution. And then as you attempt to secure the future, what happens? You took the loan at 12%, is it not? And now the loan has jumped to 18.5%. It means what you worked for, the system has taken it out of your bank account by force without your approval, and you can't go to jail, you can't go nowhere, you can't go to the police. You can't, it's systemized thuggery. Inflation takes money from your bank account. You'd rather bring your tithe here, we buy some lights. At least lives will be changed. Amen. That's an investment. And you can be in the house and say, there's a light there in Rivers Church. It is speaking for me right now. Amen forever. The reason why I can speak boldly like this is because I am sure the pastors here are the biggest givers. So we know what you're talking about. The prison of regret deals with being in a space where we believe with all our hearts that we missed out on life because of our decisions. That our hands sabotaged us. The system of this world is not built for you. Let me give you one more example. Do you know that every instrument of progress, whether for career or for business, are built on the past? Can I demonstrate? Okay, fine. When you apply for a job, you're applying for a job, what do they ask you for? They ask you for curriculum vitae. What is that? Is it not a documentation of the past? It is not. This system is not designed for you. If you brought for me, when you come to church, why is it that when you come to church and we are praying for a job, do we ask for CV? We say, lift up your hands like you're receiving something from heaven. Say, I command. I receive. We prayed here for a woman, Pastor Doc. When was this? Her womb has opened up now. She's coming to testify here next Sunday. How many years? She's here. Only that we don't have testimony. How many years and without pregnancy? A long time. Now tell me, this is your mathematics of a calendar. You know ladies have these apps, eh? They are this time. Baby, you see this red here. Wasaga, you don't understand these things, eh? Baby, there are these 5 days. You better go to the gym. See God. There is a daughter of this house. There's a daughter of this house who was here 2 Sundays ago. Right now she's in Australia. Not by machinization, but by the spirit. Okay, let me talk to businessmen a little bit. Now, as a business person, man of God, Joy, you understand, Biashara? When you go to the bank now, you want progressive loan. What do they ask you for? Financial statements. What are those? Is that not the past? Are you seeing what I'm talking about? The whole system is designed on that which God said, forget. Oh my goodness. These people of TBM, where are they? Ha! Michelle Majaliwa. Huh? Man of God. The whole thing is designed on what God told you to forget. That is why we are above. You see, when he says we are above, it's not a declaration for excitement. Because he's showing you now that this system was not designed for you. Hallelujah. Webster's Dictionary of Regret. Webster's Dictionary of Regret says, it is a pain of the mind in account of something done or experienced in the past. It is a pain that is coupled with a wish that I should have chosen better. That if only if I had chosen better, my life would have been different. And that is dangerous because it discounts the power of Yeshua HaMashiach. That if only I could have chosen. Look at this. They say it is also accompanied with dissatisfaction. It is accompanied with grief and sorrow. The assignment of the prison of regret is to deceive you into thinking that your life is in your hands. And that your choices determine your destiny. That is partially true. But it is not true. Because you are not infallible. The genius of God is this. That even in our fallibility, His overarching grace is able to turn what Pentecostal preachers say, a mistake. He can insist on a mistake to become a message. That is God's grace. God's grace can insist on a weakness to become a strength. It can, you know what insisting is? Insisting is, you don't believe. You're like, Father, you don't understand. Eh? You don't understand. One day I was speaking to Pastor Doc and I went to rescue one of our relatives. Let me put it like that. You know, and now as we were going to rescue one of our relatives, you know, she was telling us the way we don't understand love. And she sat us down and gave us a lecture. Now, this is an 18-year-old kid. Eh? And said, you don't understand love. But then, boss, do you know, you are here with somebody, you don't even know their second name. You have moved into their apartment. You're talking about planning a family. And we are the ones who don't understand love. We don't understand love. Grace for us was to insist that we understand love. And you must leave this house today. We carried that, trust me. We didn't fail in that assignment. That assignment, we did it well. Oh my goodness. Pastor Doc and I only. Against 20 guys. Oh my goodness. You don't want to experience my love. My love is the one that comes for you where you are. God's grace insists on your victory. Insists on your victory. That even when you say, you know, had I just been a better girlfriend, maybe right now I would not be lifting up my hands when they call single people. 1,000 times no. That's the prison of regret. The prison of regret has 5 assignments in your life. Somebody connected with that point, eh? Of being a better girlfriend. Why am I feeling like it's this size? The first assignment of the prison of regret is to rob your joy. Is to make sure you don't have joy in today. Yes, sir. Your world is black and white. There's a lot of gray clouds. There is no color in your world. And it doesn't matter what anybody says. You don't have a taste for life. It's to rob you of joy. And anything that robs you of joy makes the presence of God detestful. Because in his presence is fullness of joy. Yes, sir. Where people are happy, you're even offended. Because you're saying, if only I was a better accountant, I would have been promoted. I wouldn't have lost my job. The assignment of the prison of the past is to steal your joy. The second thing is to break your spirit. Webster says that regret is a pain of the mind. Now, do you know, Pastor Kev, that the spirit, your spirit man, can carry a wounded body? That there can be disease in you. Disease, I'm talking about disease. Cancer can be on you. But if your spirit is strong, you will be coming to church, you will be going to work, you will be loving, you will be buying flowers. You're like, baby, there's cancer on me. But cancer does not determine me. But the scripture says, a broken spirit. Who can bear? Because your body can be in good shape, Pastor Des. Mutu wa miraba miine. But you can't carry a broken spirit. A wounded spirit. Let me tell you, a fit body, Emmanuel, cannot carry a broken spirit. The assignment of regret is to break your spirit. That you can no longer even lift up your voice to say, Father, I thank you for tomorrow. You can't. Because tomorrow is no longer in your vocabulary. For you, the world is over. There is nothing better coming your side. And you blame yourself because you say, if only I would have chosen better. The assignment of the prison of regret is to convince you that by the arm of flesh, you can build your life. That by budgeting better, that if only, you know, there are people who are here and you're saying, the only reason why I'm in this debt, and sometimes it even brings issues in families, that you put us in debt. If only you decided a bit better. And now there is a white elephant in the room. So we can talk about everything else, but when that conversation comes, it is extreme. They are broken spirit. And it curtails the agenda of prosperity. The rich garden there, to launch into the deep is to now trust God recklessly in this month and tell God, even my mistakes, I bring them to you in Jesus' name. Even my mistakes, I bring them to you. Hallelujah. The assignment of the prison of regret is to keep you frustrated and bitter. And bitter at yourself. Because the prison of regret makes you look inward. Is that your story this morning? That you believe your life could have been better if you just decided differently. The prison of former things deals with previous successes. The prison of regret deals with choices that pushed your life in a certain direction. Well, here is a word for you. Are you ready for the word? Come on, are you ready for the word? He said, and for we know. Look at your neighbor and tell them, for we know. Come on, look at the other one, shake them. They might say, but neighbor, don't give up now. Because for we know, put for me up the book of Romans chapter 8. It is a scripture that you know. For we know, for we know. Look at your neighbor, tell them, neighbor, for we know that all things work together. Tell your neighbor, that debt that you got into, all things work together. That you needed that debt for you to build your business muscle. Tell your neighbor, all things. Neighbor, that kid that you call a mistake, for we know that all things work together. Look at your neighbor, tell them, neighbor, I know you don't like how I look like. I know you don't like where I live, but I have a word for you this morning. All things work together. And I came to announce that all things is all things. Divorce is all things. Am I speaking to somebody? Being auctions is all things. Am I speaking to somebody? Losing all the money of the family is all things. God said all things work together for the good. I came to make an announcement this afternoon that God is breaking the prison of regret and is bringing you out. You can decide again, child of God. You can decide again. You can do that business again. There is nothing wrong with your choices. God said, do not give up now. Do not throw in the towel right now. Do not cry right now. Do not talk about Egypt right now. Do not talk about what did work, but begin to talk about the decisions you will make tomorrow in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Put for me Romans chapter 8 verse 28, amplified. Rise up on our feet, I want us to pray. Amplified. He says, for we know with great confidence. Oh my goodness. For we know with great what? With great confidence. For we know with great confidence. One day Abraham went to Egypt and they took his wife and he even had to lie. But even in that lie, Jehovah Elohim was there. For we know with great confidence. Listen, there is no enchantment against the beloved. There is no enchantment against the believers. Listen to me. If the blood can deal with your fornication, can the blood deal with bad decisions, somebody? If the blood can remove you out of the kingdom of death, out of the kingdom of darkness, if the blood can pull you out of the pit wherein there is no water, if the blood can pull you out of the club, if the blood can pull you out of alcoholism and pornography and fornication and drug addiction, why can't the blood pull you out of bad decisions? Somebody, we are breaking the prison of regret today in the name of Jesus. Listen to this one. The prison of regret introduces delay in your life by ensuring you cannot take like decisions anymore. Because the last time I tried, it went left. I no longer will do it. And do you know what? The enemy will always challenge you at your place of strength. That you said business, it ended up in debt. The message of hell is like you are dead. The message of heaven is that forget the former things, because I do a new thing. That in that what you called mistake, God is calling it a message. Amen. 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 This is the last day you're blaming yourself for where you are in the name of Jesus. If you're clapping, clap for Jesus. Come on, put those hands together. Come on, put those hands together and give him thanks. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God forever. I want us to make one prayer and then I want us to prophetically the move. We must sing that song, Who Has the Final Say. We must sing that song prophetically, because that's our leaving the prison of regret song. Who has the final say? I can't hear your voice, church. Who has the final say? Yeah, who has the final say? Jehovah has the final. You see, listen, the past is very wicked, eh? You know, you can be getting ready to settle and then the past shows up. You can be ready to get a loan and then the past shows up. You can be ready to get a job. Look at how wicked the enemy can be. And then your ex is in the panel saying, aha, you, I know you. You see how the past is wicked? Don't play with, or two exes. Bage banange, Pastor Doc. You go to a, you know, and you find two exes. Oh my gosh. Take me to the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. I want us to make one prayer here. We are praying, church. The spirit of supplication is here. Are you there? And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Hi, we know for a fact that we are of God, and the whole world around us lies in the power of the evil one. Please go to Mark chapter 4, verse 37. The book of Mark chapter 4, verse 37 deals with Jesus, and he wants to go to the other side. Can you imagine? In the other side, there was a demoniac who was possessed. And scripture says that this demoniac was so much possessed that he was breaking, he had demonic strength. He was breaking chains. He was tearing chains apart. And Jesus was setting up to go and deliver him. And then what happens? Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 37. It says, a furious squall came up. KJV says, a storm came up. Can you imagine? A storm came up. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. That Jesus is coming. Man of God, yes. Jesus is coming. He's coming to handle your case. Then a storm breaks up. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. You know, I'm in a church of faith, and we believe Jesus did it all. He says, and I desire to come to you, and I desire to come to you quickly. But what happened? Read the scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. What happened? The man who wrote the biggest part of the New Testament, what happened to him? Tell your neighbor, blessing blockers. I want us to pray against blessing blockers. Anything that has hindered that which belongs to you, today we overturn, we bind, we intercept in the name of Jesus. Say, I command all that God has ordained for my life this season. I command all that God has ordained for this church. I intercept every blockage that is coming against my blessing, every blockage that is coming against my breakthrough, every blockage that is coming against my family, by the blood of the Lamb and in the name of Jesus, we curse. We break now every hindrance, every spiritual interference with that which God has ordained for us. We curse by the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. In the name of Jesus, every door that has been ordained for us this July and in August and in September and in November and in December, open now by the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody say, I command every interception of the enemy to turn back and boomerang. Every interception of the enemy, we break in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God forever. Father, I give you the glory in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. The book of Matthew chapter 18, I'm about to get out of here. The book of Matthew chapter 18 says that heaven does binding and heaven does losing. It is true. But he said that the foundation of that binding and losing is you binding and it is you losing. Now lift up your hand and say, I command every destiny door on my life to open up right now. In the name of Jesus, I loose every door. I loose every door. Every door that has been hijacked, I loose it by the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. In the name of Jesus, let the fire of God consume now. Consume now every bondage that has caused me confusion. Every bondage that has caused me to be delayed, be consumed now. In the name of Jesus, I intercept the power of the enemy around my family. I intercept the power of the enemy around my career. These hands are blessed hands. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. The book of Proverbs, chapter 26, verse 27. Are you ready to pray? He said, let he that digs a pit, let him fall inside himself. Lift up your voice now. Oh God, every machination that has dug pits around my life, fall inside yourself. In the name of Jesus, every economic system that has conspired against my financial liberty, today, fall inside your own pit. In the name of Jesus, I want to command every pit digger, fall in your own pit. In the name of Jesus. As for us, we shall pass around safely. As for us, we shall pass around safely. In the name of Jesus, we break now by the blood of the Lamb. And in the name of Jesus, every blockade that has been introduced by evil forces, we cast you today. We cast you today. We cast you today. We cast you by the word. Be uprooted from your roots. Be uprooted from your roots. Be uprooted from your roots. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. One more prayer. The book of Psalms 141 verse 10. The book of Psalms 141 verse 10. The book of Psalms 141. I made this prayer for a young man. What's his name? And today he came to me and he said, you know, man of God, I'm trusting God for a camera. And I'm really trusting God for a camera. Why don't you contribute for me? I'm a photographer. I have this passion of photography. And he says, pray for me, man of God. And I told him, the problem is the enemy has put it in your mind that what you need is a camera. That is not the case. You don't need a camera. You need an open door. Right now, he's the official photographer. I'll bring him here to testify. He's the official photographer of His Excellency, the President. He buys cameras the way you buy Smokey. That's how he buys camera. You should go to his Insta feed. It's shocking. He's buying BMWs. This is the same boy who was praying, trusting God for cameras. Now I want to show you something here. Are you seeing the wickedness of Satan, Pastor Kev? Look at Psalms 141 verse 10. It says, let the wicked fall in their own nets, while us we shall pass by in safety. Let them fall in their own nets. Now lift up your voice and pray like David would pray. I command every wicked plan to collapse today. In the name of Jesus. Now lift up your voice. Lift up your voice like you are serious. Like you are tired of stagnation. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, let the wicked fall in their own nets. Let the wicked fall in their own nets. Let them fall. Let them fall. While us, we shall pass around safely. In the name of Jesus, every plan of the enemy, we declare today, by the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, you will not prevail. 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 In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Bless your name. Can Lord join me? I want you to collect offering. Paul said something. That at Ephesus, listen to me, children of God. We are a family here. And this house, people must rise. Listen. Do you know the reason why you have that heat of battle is because you have seen that God is calling you to something. That desire that is what you call vision is God's voice put in a language that you can understand. That thing that you have, that thing that your heart is beating for. And Paul was like that. And he said, I had to fight the beast at Ephesus. I had to fight the beast at Ephesus. And sometimes it looks like everything is not working. It looks like there's challenge on every side. And it looks like there is pain that will not leave our house. Listen, today, by the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, any challenge that is not God ordained, die right now. In the name of Jesus, every trap that has been designed to put us in confusion, be confused yourself. In the name of Jesus, every dart of the enemy, we send it back to sender, back to sender, back to sender. In the name of Jesus, every pronouncement from a dark place, we command you today to go back to sender. In the name of Jesus, by the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, we want to command the days of victory and prison break in this house. This is the last day you are living in regret. Look at me now carefully. If you are clapping, clap for Jesus. Clapping with conviction. Come on, put those hands together with conviction. all things. The intelligence of God is such that He is able to take what we called the rubbish of Nazareth and turn it into the Savior of the world. That the city that was called the scum of the earth became the headquarters of redemption. God has a way of orchestrating that difficult childhood is actually destiny. Those difficult decisions that pushed you to the corner of the city was actually the wisdom of God in operation. That the wisdom of God, once it is infused with grace, has a way of overriding that which you thought about and decided, and it went south. God says, I am able, even in that place of your wrong decisions. What shall separate us from the love of God? What shall separate us from the love of God? If angels cannot, how will bad decisions separate us from the love of God? Break out of the prison of regret today in the name of Jesus. Somebody said my business would have been better. Oh, I had wicked business. I went into partnership with the devils themselves. Even there, Yeshua HaMashiach is able. Hallelujah. And that was just but a setup for God's glory to be seen. This is the last day you are thinking about your regret again. In Jesus' precious name. If you believe that, put your hands together. Give him a praise. God bless you.
Thank you for sticking into the end. We hope you are blessed by this message. Follow us for more of these messages when new episodes drop, and make sure to rate us so that more people can find out about us. Bye-bye.